We're going to be turning to the Gospel of John this evening. John 21. For the sake of our visitors, we've been working our way through the Gospel of John, and we find ourselves in John 21, and we're looking at Jesus' appearance to the disciples on the seaside, the Sea of Tiberias. So we're going to read from chapter 21, verse 1 through to 14 this evening. John chapter 21, starting at verse 1, this is God's holy and infallible word. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We'll go with you. They went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, do you have any fish? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, about 200 yards. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So far the reading of God's word, may he bless it to our souls. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said to the disciples, I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Then in John 20, in verse 23, he in a sense sends them out. He tells them the type of mission they're going out on. And he says to them, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Jesus is sending out the disciples to change the whole world, to radically change the whole world. It will never be the same from the moment that the disciples leave Jerusalem. As the gospel, for the first time in 6,000 something years, goes out to the entire world. He is sending them out in one of the most important missions that could ever be given to anyone. And what they desperately need to know is that they are utterly dependent upon Jesus Christ for everything. He said it to them in many different ways. He said it in John 15, as we just read. You won't bear fruit at all. You'll bear nothing apart from me. And here in story form, we get the same message. There's so much in this story. We could unpack like eight different things, eight different sermons in this. There's just so much in there. And what I want us to focus on tonight is just this reality of the deep dependency that these disciples have upon Christ, must have upon Christ. And for us as a church, and for us as individuals, that we are completely dependent upon Jesus for any fruit, any success, any blessing. There will be no fruit in Manurewa unless we depend upon Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the message of the Bible. But here we see it in just this beautiful story way. So firstly, we see that there's no success without Jesus. So Simon Peter and the others decide to go fishing. Don't cast this negatively. A lot of people have said, oh, they've abandoned their mission and they've gone fishing. They were fishermen. And they had to eat. And they had to provide for themselves. They didn't have a church to support them like I do. They probably would have liked that, but they didn't yet. So they went fishing, waiting for the day of the Spirit to come on Pentecost. And so off they go for a fish. And see these wonderful fishermen. They're fishermen by trade. Some of their dads were fishermen, and their dads' dads were probably fishermen. You know, these are experts. They know exactly how to fish. And it goes really, really well, doesn't it? No, that doesn't go well at all. So we see in verse 3, Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. They say, sure, why not? And they all go out, they fish all night, and they catch nothing. It's a bad day at the office. Not one fish. And it's interesting because one of the things that John loves to do throughout the gospel, if you just, next time you've got a Saturday afternoon and you've got a few hours to spare, sit down and read through the whole gospel of John. It'll take you about 2 hours. Read through the Gospel of John and see what he does with dark and light all the way through. The whole thing is just scattered with dark and light constantly. And so you notice that they're fishing at night. Now, night's a good time to go fishing, but there's far more than that for John. You see, they're out in the dark by themselves fishing. Now, they've been out on the sea before with Jesus. They'd seen many miracles at the sea by Jesus. It's the Sea of Galilee. Tiberias is its other name. And yet, here they are, in the dark, no Jesus present, fishing with no catch. And I can't help but wonder how maybe some of the conversations might have gone. You know, after maybe hour five of fishing, one of them says, hey, do you remember that time in the beginning of Luke's gospel, which hasn't been written yet? Do you remember that time when we were fishing and Jesus walked along the shore and said, hey, Peter, throw your net on the other side of the boat? And we hauled up that massive catch. Oh, wouldn't it be amazing if Jesus was here? Or maybe one of them said, remember that time we just had a couple of buns and a couple of fish and Jesus fed like 5,000 people? Just the men, not even counting the wives and children. Oh, if Jesus was here, we wouldn't have this problem. Do you remember the times when Jesus used to just say things and they happened? He could just say a word and the fish would turn up. That would be great. That would be really convenient. But Jesus isn't here. They're alone. They They need to sort it out themselves. They can't depend on Jesus anymore because Jesus is gone. Yeah, he turned up again, but he's not here now. And we can be like this, can't we? I remember sitting in an AGM once, in a church AGM, and there was an argument. It was an actual argument. It's filled with Dutchmen. It was an actual argument about money. I can say that because I'm Dutch. And an argument about money. And someone said, so to put it in context, the church was considering calling the missionaries home so they could afford to buy something. And someone stood up and said, we sent the missionaries out. We can have faith that God will provide us enough that we need. And someone stood up and said, God gave us a brain to work it out ourselves. And he was dead serious. Because he's given us the resources. We can do it. And the problem is we kind of want to wrestle, you know, kind of get that, like kind of get that. But what do we see here? We see a bunch of disciples. We're sorting it out ourselves. We can do this. We're fishermen. You know, we've messed everything else up, but at least one thing we can get right is catching some fish. And they strive all night long and catch nothing. And it's a stunning picture, isn't it? It's a picture of us, isn't it? How often in churches are we not like this? Where we do so many different things that are good things and good programs and great systems and beautiful training. And we do all sorts of different things and we strive and we strive and we strive and we strive in our energy and effort with no dependency upon God. How do I know that happens? Because almost every church you go to, prayer is the least important thing on the list. Am I wrong? Do you know most churches don't have prayer meetings anymore? We're weird because we have a prayer meeting here. Because we've adopted a worldview from the world which says if you just stack everything up rightly and try really, really hard, everything works out. It's that can-do attitude. It's not the she'll be right attitude that we have. It's the if I just keep plugging, eventually I'll get there. You know, what do we say to our children? Just keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. You can do it. Keep trying. We're like the little train going up. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And at some point, we have to realize we can't. At some point, we have to realize that without Jesus Christ, we will never succeed. No ifs or buts. And for the disciples, it happened while fishing. They had to come to realize as they move into the Acts of the Apostles, as they move into the future proclaiming of the gospel to the ends of the earth, they need to realize that though there's no success without Jesus, there is much success with Jesus. There's huge success with Jesus Christ. And so while they're out fishing, the day is breaking. Huh, funny that, the night, see that imagery? The night is beginning to vanish away. And they lift up their eyes and Jesus is standing on the shore. Of course, they don't recognize him. And Jesus yells out, children, do you have any fish? You can imagine just how glorious that question was after a whole night of fishing and catching nothing. It's a little bit like just lads. It's the word for children there. It's like lads. Lads, have you got anything yet? It's what you do if you're a fisherman like myself. This is what you do is you're paddling in on your kayak and you see someone paddling out. They instantaneously, the first thing they say, did you catch anything? And you, I just did a long day. I don't want to talk about it. And off you paddle. Jesus, have you caught anything? No. That's all you get. Just one word. No. We have labored all night long is the truth. They're utterly exhausted. They're in the dark. They've labored through the dark. They're tired. They're worn out. They've caught nothing. And Jesus says, throw the net on the other side. And probably just from sheer exhaustion and frustration, they go, why not one more time? You know, they don't know it's Jesus yet, do they? They haven't realized. John hasn't said, it's the Lord yet. So sheerly out of frustration, they throw the net on the right side of the boat. And what happens? They cast their net on the right side of the boat. They were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. They labor all night long, they catch nothing. Can you just actually comprehend this for a second? They labor all night long and they do not catch a single fish. What is the odds of that? These are professional fishermen who do this for a job and they don't catch one thing. There's only one reason they didn't catch anything. Jesus Christ ensured that not a single fish swam into their net. Whether he was standing on the fish in the dark or not makes no difference. In his sovereign providence, he directed every single fish to avoid their net every single time so that they would catch nothing. He caused them to enter into this night of labor and exhaustion. Why? So that when he turns up, the net gets cast and he sends 153 fish into the very spot that the net's going to land on. This is Jesus Christ. This is the one we worship. This is the one who died for us. This is the man standing upon the shore and controlling every fish in the ocean at the same time as calling out to his disciples, and I can only imagine with a smirk on his face, cast the net on the other side, get a load of this is going to be great. Boom, 153 fish. Now, if you're wondering what the deal is with 153 fish, there's like an absurd amount of books and words that have been written to figure out what 153 means. You know, one person calculated that it represents the law and the gospel, because if you divide it in a whole bunch of different ways, you work some stuff out. It's really clever. Way over my mathematical head. You know, 153, the reason that John writes 153 is because there was 153 fish in the net. But how do they know? What are you going to do when you get to the shore with this massive net of fish? You're going to go, dude, let's count this. Have you seen how many fish there are? 1, 2, 3, 4. You want to know. It's nothing crazy. There's just a whole lot of really large fish in there. But do you notice how little they did to get it? I mean, they had to do stuff, didn't they? They couldn't just sit there and let the fish jump in their boat. They still had to fish. But they were fishing, relying upon the word of Jesus Christ, though they didn't know it was him yet. They were relying upon Christ and netting amazing results. Because this is how Jesus Christ works. When the Lord of the harvest is present, the harvest is rich. And the Lord of the harvest was most definitely present, wasn't he? But then notice when they get to the beach, I find this fascinating. Jesus tells them to drag the fish on the shore, okay? So just picture it from the disciples' perspective. You get there and you start dragging them. Jesus is like, oh, bring those fish over here. And you're thinking, yeah, it's breakfast time. I'm bringing the fish over there. And the disciples stumble over, and what do they find in verse 9? They get on land and there's already a charcoal fire. And there's already fish on it. And he's already got bread. Jesus didn't need them to catch any fish. You see what Jesus is showing them? Jesus is showing the disciples that he actually doesn't need them. They need him. This is the reality of the Christian life, isn't it? God says, pray. And we say, but but you're going to sovereignly do everything. You don't need me to pray. He says, that's right. I don't need you to pray. But I call you to pray because you're going to get the joy of seeing me do marvelous things through prayer. I don't need you to reach out to people. I could just save everyone by flicking my fingers, but I've decided to save people through you. You see, without Jesus Christ, there's nothing to be had at all. But with Jesus Christ, there's far more than 153 fish. How many people would be sitting in this room if Jesus wasn't here? Hopefully none. I would not be standing here if it was not for the help of Jesus Christ. You would not be sitting here if it was not for the help of Jesus Christ. We will not see one soul saved in 2021 without the direct influence of Jesus Christ. Do you wonder why I always harp on about prayer? I don't think I have a conversation in a point, like a meeting with someone, without ending up talking about prayer at some point. Do you know why? Because I 100% believe that we are completely dependent upon Jesus Christ. And so in my eyes, the prayer meeting, whether it be Thursday, whether it be the ladies praying here at the Bible study time, that the prayer meeting is literally the heart of a church's ministry. Because all of the rest of the ministries are a waste of time unless Jesus Christ is working. So what's the logical thing to do? Fall upon your knees and say, Christ, act. Do something. Our nation will not change without prayer. There is a reason why every single revival in the history of the church has started with corporate prayer. You realize that? Every single revival has started by a couple of little old ladies somewhere praying. Or a handful of people that said, let's just start praying for revival. James Fraser, beautiful example. James Fraser, he's a missionary to China. And he labors like you would not believe. And the thing he never, ever forgets to do is to write home to his prayer network of about 12 amazing, godly woman. And he writes to them and says things like, I will have no fruit unless you pray. Because we are completely dependent upon Jesus Christ. Do you, parents, you know this reality. You know the frustration of a child who won't get help? You know what it's like when you've got that child who that you know they can't do it? They clearly can't do it. And yet they are so stubborn, they just will not ask for help. My kids were never like this, honestly. I'm just making this up. So they refuse. I'm not going to ask for help. They just stubbornly sit there. And you're like, I'm right here. I could just do your shoe up for you. I could just help you right now if you would just ask me for help. Do you want some help? Like, no, I could do it myself. And aren't we like that as the church? Jesus Christ, sovereign Savior, Lord of all creation, says, go into all the world and I will be with you. Go into New Zealand and I will be with you. All power, all authority is given to me for your sake. And we go, thanks, I can sort it out myself. You know, we sung, in Christ all things are possible. Do we really believe that? Does our practice and our personal life reflect that reality? And I tell you, I'm saying this as someone who's just feeling super convicted by this right now. at how easy it is for me to labor for hours upon hours on a sermon and forget to spend time praying. And I'm sure this is the same for you, isn't it? It's how often, how easy, it's so easy to labor, isn't it? It's so easy to work hard. It is so hard to pray. Anyone who thinks it's not hard to pray needs to go and try praying. It's really, really hard to pray for any extended period of time. And yet that is where the seat of power is. Because it declares that we will catch no fish without Jesus Christ. Now John 15:5 said, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." The disciples were learning a valuable lesson. And I guess the question for us is, will we learn the same lesson? Will we learn to depend upon him and not ourselves? It's one of the hardest things to do, but it is the most rewarding. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son, through whom all things are possible. We pray that you would help us to lean wholeheartedly upon Jesus Christ, to labor with all our might, harder than anyone else, and yet wholeheartedly hang upon Christ for everything. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.